and gentlemen, this is the GoLook Report. I'm your host, Michael T. That's right, this is the official line of www.gerweck.net. That's Gerweck.net, and that's your host on the World Wide Web for all your pro wrestling news. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we had promised you 2 weeks ago via promo that this man would be coming on. We plugged him this past Monday that he'd be coming on. You might remember him as Adam Bomb, as Wrath, as one half of the WCW Tag Team Champions. He is with Chronic, and he is here with us tonight. He is Brian Clark. Brian, are you there?
Michael T., what's up, man? I'm here.
Welcome aboard, sir. I appreciate you taking the time out to talk with us tonight.
Oh, absolutely. Glad to be here.
Well, I'm glad to have you, and I'm going to ask you, you know, straight out the chute here. How are things going for you these days? What are you up to?
Oh, man. Staying really busy. Moved out to Arizona for about 2.5 years after I left Atlanta. After we finished up with Japan, moved out here, and it's been great, man. This is an awesome place to live, and there's actually a lot of guys moving out here that either that are still in the business or retired from the business, so it's a good move for me.
Well, that's very good to hear. You know, we're going to be talking about a lot of things tonight, Brian, and I hope you're ready for it. We're going to kind of do a broad brush of what's happening for you career-wise. Because I believe you actually have a big announcement to talk about.
Absolutely. You know what? It's been a little while in the making here, but myself and my great partner, Brian Adams, we are in the process of putting out a kick-ass DVD, a tell-all, basically. And all that information you can find on chronicwrestling.com, K-R-O-N-I-K, wrestling.com. Give myself a little plug here. I've got a great webmaster who's been excellent, put a lot of work into this thing. And we're just getting off the ground with it, but it's going to be loaded with merchandise, some great photos from the past throughout my career of Wrath, Adam Bomb, the creation of Devastation, Wrath, both Wraths, the new and the old, and of course, all of Chronic's run, and also a lot of Japan photos. So it's going to be packed.
Well, you're Triple Crown winners over in Japan, correct?
Absolutely, man. That was, I have to be probably the highlight of my career for the fact that I was a huge Stan Hansen fan, and for the fact that he handed us the titles that that topped my career right there.
Well, that's wonderful to hear. ChronicWrestling.com. Now, Chronic is K-R-O-N-I-K. Chronic Wrestling, that ends with a K, starts with a K, ends with a K, and you do own the names to that. You're not going to have Vince McMahon down, breathing down your neck, right?
Absolutely not, man. That's one smart move that we jumped on before Russo ever started pushing the idea. We took care of that a while ago, but yeah, that's ours.
Now, I got to ask you, before we go back and talk about Smoky Mountain Wrestling and your WWF days, Chronic has been notoriously referenced as being a drug reference. Please tell me that there might be another story to that.
Yeah, you know, I mean, of course, it's a little catch-all. You hear Chronic, there's a bunch of different ways to do it. But Brian and I, actually, we thought about chronic pain, chronic punishment, just chronically just kicking somebody's ass. And that's what we did. I mean, you know, we were just two big bad guys that went in the ring and took care of business. So, you know, people can take it for what they want. We spell it differently. Like I said, we start with a K, we end with a K. And, you know, it's just the way they want to perceive it. That's fine.
Now, now a lot of people, that from what I'm to understand, that's kind of, squarely blame on Vince Russo. I mean, they did have your finisher called the High Times.
Yeah. Well, you know, if they want to tie it in that way, you know, you can look at it both ways. Hey, the guy's going high up, he's going down, you know what I mean? It's basically a double choke slam. I also kept the Meltdown, which I, you know, a lot of people are going to say, you know, that one of the Nasty Boys did it. He did it halfway. I actually made and created the Meltdown. It's a full pump handle up and slam. No one ever did it before I did it. You know, I studied tapes, and no one had ever done it. I tried it. I actually tried it at the power plant. I said, hey, can I do this? Boom, 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 and it worked. And then, of course, later on down the line, a few other guys stole the move, but it was called a Meltdown, and it's still the Meltdown. So, you know, we put our own spin on a lot of things.
Well, you know, there's a lot of things that we're going to be able to talk about, but I've got to ask you, this shoot DVD that you're working on right now, okay, this is going to be straight-out shoot. Are we worried about maybe you know, kayfabing things a little bit, or are we going to get the God's honest truth right out of you?
You know, you're going to get the truth because I really got no reason to kayfabe anything, you know, and Brian doesn't either. I mean, we're both very comfortable. Ted paid us very good money, so we're happy. And well, we've got some great fans out there, some great chronic fans, and, you know, the old saying, never say never, but we'll see what happens when that, you know, when that comes up, and if something comes up. But right now, I mean, we're just planning on just going with it.
Well, there's a lot of things that are going to take place with that DVD, and there's going to be more coming out.
Yeah, you know what? You actually may be involved a little more than you know.
Well, that could be wonderful. We'll talk about that. That could be something. Teaming up with Chronic, that'd be an honor. We'll see what we can do.
Yeah.
You know, as long as I'm not held liable. No, I'm kidding.
Exactly.
No, when it comes down to it, really, there's so much that goes on about you guys. I think the problem right now is that people, when they think about you, because let's be honest with each other, in the promo you said 3 years, but you haven't talked to anyone in 4 years going on now.
That's probably about right, you know. Once we finished up in Japan, we pretty much got to do everything we wanted to do and set out and travel the world, basically, just like most other people that's been in this business for 10 or 12 years. We basically got to do everything we wanted to do. And so, yeah, I was just a little burnt out. It was time for me to move on. And I didn't really feel like playing Vince's games, so it was just the best thing for me to.
Well, what leads to an interesting thing, and it's a little teaser, as it were, but we're going to talk about it tonight. And also, well, I'll go to that in a second. First of all, the thing that's kind of really ringing in people's ears when they hear Chronic, they're remembering the Brothers of Destruction matchup at that pay-per-view when you were in the WWE. They remember you walking out. They remember this match being extremely painful to watch, and it really tarnished the history of Chronic.
Yeah.
And we have to fix that because there was so much you guys have done besides that Brothers of Destruction incident. And, you know, we're going to cover that. And I think with the DVD and coming out and speaking out, I think we're going to actually help that. But another thing is that, from what I understand, you will actually be at a convention this coming Saturday.
That's correct. I'm actually flying out on Saturday. Friday morning. Into Newark and then going over to Edison, New Jersey for a Legends convention there, actually, so yeah.
Okay, now Brian Adams won't be at this one, but he will be joining sometime soon then.
Yes, he will be. From here on in, he'll be just about everything that, it's like I said, we're a complete team, you know. So this is just, this is just one thing that I'm doing on my own, of course, with his approval. And like I said, we're in this together, so it's a great working relationship with Brian. It's always been that way. On the road, in the ring, out of the ring. It's just, you know, he's always been, I couldn't ask for a better partner, put it that way.
Well, to be fair to Brian Adams, some issues have, you know, interceded into this matter. And as much as he'd like to be there for the fans in Edison, New Jersey, things have changed. He's unable to attend, but rest assured that Brian, I'm sure I'm speaking pretty clearly here, Brian Clark here, is when Brian Adams would love to be there for the fans. And from what I'm understanding, and you can confirm this for me, that Brian Adams will be here on the hotline with us next week.
Absolutely, he will be. I'm going to miss his comedy this weekend, I can tell you that. You know, I talked to him this morning, and he's playing ribs. He's on the phone with Taker and just ribbing everybody in sight as usual. So, I'm going to miss him this weekend, but we'll make up for it.
I have no doubt about it. I had a privilege of talking to him this morning,
yeah.
And he's just such an open, genuine guy, much like yourself, and I'm very excited, and I'm sure the fans are too. They're really looking forward to hearing from you, and now they're got to be excited about the Chronic DVD coming out because you guys have a lot to say. You've been through a lot, and I'm sure there's a lot of locker room stories that you guys are ready to dish out.
Oh, we got a ton of stuff.
Well, that's going to be seen at chronicwrestling.com. You can check out gerwig.net. We're going to keep you informed. All the major changes that are happening over at chronicwrestling.com, we're going to keep you up to date. And don't forget to check it. Check it often and get ready for some of the stuff that you haven't seen in a long, long time, which reminds me of things. Smoky Mountain Wrestling, that's where you started out, Brian, as the Night Stalker. Who trained you, and how did you break in?
Oh, man. Smoky Mountain was a great place for me to start. you know, I had actually, a little bit before that, I actually got started, you know, as we talked, got a shot with TBS, and just wasn't ready, you know. So after I finished college, I had a full scholarship to Central Missouri State, and when I finished school, I moved to Atlanta, just like a lot of people do, to pursue their dreams. And I got in touch with Jody Hamilton and Dwayne Bruce, also known as Sarge, if you guys can remember back to WCW days. And both those guys trained me, and man, I basically lived at the power plant. Probably it wasn't even known as a power plant at the time. It was basically an old warehouse. And, you know, just every single day getting suplexed out of my boots until I learned how to work, man. And I got a shot with, I actually worked the indie show with Paul Orndorff. And he actually got me into Smoky Mountain Wrestling. So that was a great help.
Now, shortly after your run in Smoky Mountain Wrestling, you showed up in the WWF at that time as one Atom Bomb, who was managed at the time, Harvey Whippleman. You were also teamed with Johnny Polo. The gimmick, how did they come up with that?
You know, at the time, I think they had a book, and it was the Book of Gimmicks. So they just had these names. I was also one of the people, believe it or not, who was actually going to be called the Ringmaster. I think Steve Austin also had that possibility at one time. I don't know. That's just a name they had trademarked, I guess, and they felt that I looked the part and it would work. So, for the most part, it did. I really think that I could have done without a manager, at least the initial stages, because the Johnny Polo character was more of comedy, where I was more serious in the ring with just kicking ass and taking names. That's the way I've seen my whole career, and I just think that's the same way with Chronic. I finally got to do what I wanted to do and what I was comfortable with, and no comedy, nothing against it. I mean, it has its place in the business, but not necessarily for my character.
Now, one of the things and the most noted trademark about you and the Atom Bomb character, for starters, the pyro with the mushroom crowd behind it, a mushroom cloud behind it. That was interesting pyro, but they didn't. That was, you know, when they were just starting to do pyro.
Yep.
Number two, the trademark red tongue. And number three, and I'm going to ask you, and cover all this at the same time, the tattoo.
Yeah. Real simple. The mushroom cloud was just, more of their gimmicks, and the red tongue, same thing. And then the tattoo was just something I had done, and then actually had it taken off a couple, 5 years later after I left there. So you can't even see it.
Now, what made you get the tattoo?
I don't know. I really don't know. I just thought, I still can't explain that one.
Because
I don't have an answer for it.
Listen, because, was that on, that was on your left arm, right?
Yeah, well, actually, I was in the military also, prior to me going to college, and I had a tattoo there from the military. Nothing really significant, but I just thought, okay, hey, why not get something new? So that's why I did it.
Well, I mean, what I was going to say, though, is, if you didn't get it removed, I was almost expecting a cease and desist from using your left arm or wearing cutoffs from Vince McMahon.
Yeah, I thought, I'll just take it off real easy, no problem, instead of having something to cover up. It's, easier way out.
Yeah, it is an easier way out.
Yeah.
Now, was there many notable feuds that you recall while being there in the WWF at the time?
Actually, the title, usually, I worked... a lot of main events, a lot of house shows. I just remember working easily 280 days out of the year and just being on the road constantly. I worked a lot of casket matches with Undertaker. I worked Yokozuna. I worked a lot of main events with a lot of guys. I worked with Bret Hart. I worked with Owen. I worked with Bob Holly, the Smoking Guns, which is Billy Gunn. Just about everybody you could think of, I worked with. So, just you're on the road so much at that time. It's a little different. I don't think they're on the road near as much now. But you got a chance just to basically work with everybody.
Now, one of the things about the locker room and everything else is, I'm sure there's a lot of it's going to be covered in your DVD. But for the fans, what's one of your all-time classic ribs from back in your Atom Bomb days?
Oh my God. Well, there were so many. Owen Owen was classic for doing stuff, and he would, and you know, both these guys are passed on. Davey Boy and Owen were constantly going back and forth to each other all the time. I do remember one time we were in the Philippines, and they did a spot. It was a tag match, and somehow Lex was involved in the tag match. So it was Owen and Davey and Lex. And I think they did a spot where Owen runs in, and he's being press slammed by Lex. Well, Owen makes it really hard for Lex to press him, so he's like falling all over the place, and it makes Lex look really weak, like he can't do the spot, so he ends up just dumping Owen. And next thing you know, Owen feeds for Davey, and Davey's pressing like 10 or 15 times. So it makes Lex like he's really weak and a piece of shit. This is funny. But they were always doing shit like that. And of course, Brian, my partner, man, he's got a million and one stories, but if you ever get a call from Vince, make sure it's Vince, because Brian is very good at doing the impersonations.
Is he?
Absolutely. You have no idea. So just make sure you're talking to Brian when you're talking, you know? So he's classic at that.
So he's got you a couple times? Or?
Oh, absolutely. He's got, well, you know, I'm used to him now at first, but I've heard him call guys in their room and get them to leave for the building early or just go somewhere they're not supposed to go, you know? So, pretty funny shit.
Now, the one of the things that's noted is that there's always some kind of rivalry in the backstage area. And to talk to you offline, you're one of the few wrestlers that were more comfortable in the WCW locker room than the WWF or WWE this time. Anything in particular that you want to touch on prior to the DVD?
Really just the fact that, I mean, with Eric in control, and a lot of people say that he was not in control at most times, at least towards the end. With Eric, I could always go up and talk to him about our problems or our concerns or our ideas that we wanted to go, or where we wanted Wrath to go, or where I wanted, you know, Chronic to go, and what we wanted to do. They were open to suggestions and open to ideas. And if I wanted to be 290 pounds and doing a clothesline off the top, which I would do, or if I wanted to fly, there was no limitations of saying, well, let's not do that. Let's, you know, you're too big of a guy to do this or that. You know, I wasn't limited, and I could do what I wanted to do, and I wasn't held back, at least to a certain point. I realize there's a ceiling as far as, you know, you're only going to go so high with certain people in control and in charge. But it was just a much better atmosphere in Atlanta for me.
Now, you went to WCW in what, 96 and 95?
Yeah, right around that time frame, yeah.
Now, you were there when the clique, for the most part, was running things as it were.
Yep.
I mean, that was, you know, January 95 is when they kind of did that Madison Square Garden spot. So, I mean, something had to be running in the back. Was there any holdbacks backstage as far as your character? I mean, was there anything?
Actually, I had left right, and I know exactly the time frame you're talking about. I'd left just right before all that happened. So I was out of there anyway. I'd already had enough of
the BS.
You know what? Yeah, the BS. I mean, I'd already had enough of it. I'd been told one too many things too many times, which I will definitely cover in the DVD. Just not necessarily as a teaser, but just it takes forever to tell you the stories that go along with it. And Brian, the same situation. I mean, he was very much in as Crush. You know, he was very much in the same boat as I was. As far as limitations.
I don't recall. I mean, as much as they pushed you, there was never any title hunts for you.
Yeah, there was always, you know, there was always talks, and then, of course, you know, if you've got the right people that are in his ear, then you just sort of, it's tough to move up, you know.
Yeah, well, we'll talk a little bit more about some issues back there, because you did run into one minor trouble when you came into WCW, and you first came in as Wrath in WCW. And you were teamed with who's now Father James Mitchell, and you were teamed with Mortis.
Right.
You care to touch on that part of your career?
Yeah, you know, actually what they did, they signed me to a contract right away. I met with Eric, and we signed it, a 3-year deal. Very happy with it. Right away, they you know, wanted to make sure we make the most of their money, which was cool with me. I mean, so I spent a good 10 months kickboxing, going to a dojo every day and working out, also in the ring work, so just to get the whole martial arts field down and, you know, like I said, kickboxing every day and just getting the whole, you know, what they were looking for. They were looking for more of like a Mortal Kombat type, basically one of the video game to come to life kind of thing in the ring. And it just didn't work. It was just, I don't think the Glacier was ready. And, of course, they put Ernest Miller in there. Ernest is a good guy, but the fact is that he had no ring time whatsoever, so we were starting from scratch with him. And then, you know, they had me teaming with Canyon, who was never really over at any point in his career. And so they, you know, they put him under a mask, and Chris is not the best-looking guy in the world to start with. So I guess probably that was a good idea. But yeah, it never did click. I honestly couldn't wait to get out of that gimmick and do Wrath the way I wanted to do it. And then once I had that opportunity, I made it work.
Now, actually, you know, that's an interesting statement that you mentioned, Mortal Kombat. There's a rumor that you appeared in Mortal Kombat.
Oh, yeah. I actually did the TV series. Yes, I did. I did, yep.
Oh, see, that's an interesting reference.
I'll have to send you that tape. Let's check it out.
I would definitely appreciate that.
No problem.
That's there you go. That's Brian Clark in
Special
Mortal Kombat.
Star. Hey, you know what? There you go.
So, but then, you know, after you finally got broken of the character, I mean, well, for starters, you still have that mask.
You know what? I actually do. I have the mask, the big jacket. They probably, just as a rough guess, I'm guessing they probably spent at least 20, 30 grand on that whole outfit, making it, because I remember spending a whole day in a body cast from, like, the waist up. So they, if you go to, there's another website that that produced all that stuff, but you wouldn't believe the money that they spent on that. But they were making so much at the time that it just was no big deal. They weren't sweating it. So.
Now, you also had, like, a pretty mean scepter, too, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, that was always a little three-piece suit that went with it, but yeah,
that's
a mean looking outfit. I have to give them that.
So you did get to keep it at least.
Oh yeah, I've got it.
Very nice, very nice. Now as Wrath in the single side, I mean, you had a giant run.
Yeah.
I mean, you went for what was it, 8 months undefeated?
Yes, yep. I was on a big roll. I remember debuting in Chicago with it, just the way I wanted to do it, and what it was really a combination of. One is I used a meltdown. I come up with something new. And then just my whole, I finally got to unleash Wrath and do it the way I wanted to do it. And it was just basically vicious, high-powered, high-impact moves. A big guy flying around and just kicking ass. And that's, the, you know, that's what worked because people responded to that. And that carried over into Chronic, too. But, yeah, the way that I wanted to do it, and Eric let me run with it, you know, that was a big help.
Now, I got to ask you, Wrath, was that given to you by WCW, or did you have any input in the name?
I had input. You know, that it was just so hard to try to come up with something that was people would buy into it as far as a video game name, like with Glacier, Mortis, Wrath, you know. So I was like, okay, that's cool. It's one of the seven deadly sins. I can make it work. Give it to me. And so that's how it came about.
Gotcha. Now you ran for 8 months. I mean,
yeah.
This is the same time Goldberg was running.
Absolutely. What they, you know, it was like 8 months of a path of destruction. I mean, I was just eating everybody up that was in my sight, which was great, man. It was because I could really feel the people getting with it, especially with the meltdown. As soon as I hooked the guy in, I mean, they knew it was coming. They were calling for it, you know.
Now,
and Goldberg was still, you know, on a tear of his own. They had plans for us to meet, you know, down the line.
Now, one of the things, though, with you, though, is your matches, it was pretty much, I guess you could say, squash matches for the better part.
Pretty much, yeah, because, you know, there was so much stuff going on with the company. You know, I would be, you know, either the first match in the first hour or the first match of the second hour, just depended on, and you know, what we were doing at the time. But there was so much stuff going on. There were so many people coming in and you know, and some leaving. So, yeah, you know.
But they kept feeding you guys. They fed you guys just like they fed Goldberg.
Yeah.
Now, ultimately, it was decided that eventually it was going to come down to two undefeated guys, both yourself and Goldberg going one-on-one and find out who loses it. Is that ultimate idea?
They had, you know, the booking committee, which rotated constantly, but they basically told me, said, hey, we're going to run you pretty much wide open until it's time to get to Starcade, and then we'll put you against Goldberg. That's great. You know, no problem. I love it. And but actually ended in November before, you know, about a month before. And I actually ended up, you know, in October, I was on a really good run. Then I beat Ming at Howling Havoc, which is another big run, plus picking up a guy that weighed 3 pounds down. That was at MGM Grand in Las Vegas. Then everything was on a roll until November hit, and then they switched gears on me. So
now, your career or this path of destruction ended when you came across Kevin Nash.
Well, actually, what they were I guess they decided to switch and put Kevin was getting ready to go and work. I guess they wanted him to work a program with Nash, or excuse me, with Goldberg. So they had Nash. They needed him to beat somebody that was undefeated and, you know, showing that he could beat people that were undefeated. So probably 2 to 3 weeks before the pay-per-view, he beat me. And then the next, you know, when the pay-per-view came up, he beat Goldberg. So he ended both streaks. So that's what happened with that.
Now, do you feel that your path of destruction was overshadowed by the countdown, as it were, with Goldberg, how they kept the count of how many victories he had, or was it just mentioned every time by the announcers, or what was the story behind your path of destruction?
You know what? I don't really think it was overshadowed. Of course, Bill was over huge, which was great. I mean, Bill's a good guy. Again, nothing negative to say about Bill whatsoever. People can talk about his work, and they can say what they want, but Brian and myself, we've always gotten along with him real well. As far as, you know, they always put me over about, you know, take a look at my record, look at what I've done since I came back. And so, and Larry Zbyszko was like the best at it. I mean, I'll go back in the fire for watch old tape and stuff. I mean, he was awesome. I can't believe he's not announcing somewhere, because he's, you know, to me, he was, maybe he just chooses not to. But I thought he always did a great job.
Well, you know, in the meantime, while you were, you know, as your paths crossed from both the WWF days, you and Brian had crossed paths briefly. In fact, one time that we actually saw you guys together in the WWF days was back at the Royal Rumble 94, where you jointly beat up Undertaker.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something I want to ask you real quick as we chronicle the two, no pun intended, the two of you actually coming together. Adam Bomb, face or heel, or what was its intention?
You know, I don't really know. I think at first it was a heel to start with, but I think they got a better run out of it as a face. So I'm not really sure. I don't even know if they knew really what they wanted to do with it.
I mean, because they kept hyping you. They gave you a whole spot in the WWF magazine,
right,
showing you holding, you know, the nuclear missile or whatever it was that you were holding at the time.
Right.
And then out of nowhere, you're attacking Undertaker,
yeah,
which instantly aligned you in a heel position.
Right.
And they really didn't explain why you were there, what you were doing there, why were you there as a heel, and they just kind of dropped that.
Yeah.
But if you watch that, and you can check out the Tombstone DVD at Gerwick.net, you can purchase it right from there. There's actually a scene you can actually see Brian and Brian talking with each other. So there's your first chronic connection.
Exactly. We'll probably call him a spot. But yeah.
It's like, go hit him now.
Exactly.
But, and then...
Yeah, a lot of times, like, you know, when you're in that mid-card land, it's, you know, things happen without an explanation to the fans, which is unfair to the fans, you know, but that's just, that's television, I guess.
Well, you know, another thing, though, is while, you know, he was in the multiple forms of Crush, and then shows up in WCW, mind you, while you're still doing your Wrath gimmick, he's now NWO Black and White Bryan Adams.
Yeah.
He's the original Kiss Demon. And now, finally, the two of you meet up, and you form a tag team. How does this go about? How do you pitch the idea, and how do you pitch the name?
All right, I'll give you a little insider, too. You didn't know this, but actually, the Kiss Demon thing was pitched to me, too, and I said no.
Did you?
Yeah.
Wise move.
Yeah, exactly. I knew it wasn't going to last. Anyway, and Brian was smart, because I think Brian backed out of it, too, really quick, and they gave it to somebody else. But yeah, once we... Brian actually came up with the name and the idea, and I was just coming back from knee surgery, which, you know, that sort of slowed Wrath down. I was like, okay, now we gotta, you know, what's the possibility of doing a tag? Brian wanted to do one. He actually got in touch with me, And I said, you know, I wasn't really sure if I want to come back as a single, but they pitched the idea to him. I was like, okay, let's work on this. We worked on it together, and then we got to know each other, and you know, it worked out great. I couldn't be happier. As far as there were some things I'd like to change, but hey, we were 3 times world champions, All Japan Triple Crown winners. I mean, we got to travel the world. We got to do things that people have never got to do. I mean, we've been in front of 60,000 people in Japan. We've been 40,000 in front of the Georgia Dome. You know, I mean, no complaints as far as tagging with Brian.
Now, the real question, it comes down to first orders. You know, we're all about cashing checks and breaking necks.
And that's not from the last week's television show either. That's from 2000, 2001. If you go back and check it out, it's not, you know, Cena's watching tapes and still in people's catchphrase. So
yeah, there was you had that for a while.
Yeah.
Now you had 2 WCW title wins, correct? Okay. Now who did you win both titles from? And more importantly, when did they say, "Hey, listen, we're going to give you guys the straps"?
I think that immediately, honestly, once we went out there and Bischoff realized, even we had a big meeting, I remember, and he just sort of, he called us out, and he was like, I mean, he was basically down on everyone, but then he's like, hey, look at Brian Clark and Brian Adams. They just got here, and they're already over. Boom. And I was just like, damn, I can't believe he said that in front of the whole locker room, but he did. So he put us over right away, but it was because we were one of the few people that were getting pops at the time. So they, you know, they wanted to go with us right away. I just think because we had that look, we were both 6'6", 6'7", you know, 280, 290, and ripped. They were just like, hey, man, it's these guys, and not afraid to leave our feet. So, you know, it just worked. The first title run was we beat Shane Douglas and The Wall, which was Jerry, and you know, he passed on, 2 years ago?
Yeah, I believe so, around that time frame, yes.
And then the second was Sean O'Hare and Chuck Palumbo. So, you know, we were getting those guys. We were helping those guys a lot because they were trying to push the Thrillers, Natural Born Thrillers at the time, and get those guys ready. So we worked a lot with those, and they were just getting started. But, hey, you know, it's just the time frame we were in. But there was nobody that could compete with us, I felt, as far as, I mean, we could have went anywhere and worked any tags, any other tags with anybody. We were just looking for somebody.
You know, now this is kind of where we enter into controversy, okay? You know, Chronic had a great run in WCW, and then the invasion angle happened.
Right.
You and Brian are nowhere to be found.
Yep. Still getting paid.
You're still getting paid. You're still you were one of the people that weren't picked up under contract.
Right.
At this time, I got to ask you point blank.
Okay.
Prior to the or during the purchase of WCW, did Vince harbor any ill feelings with you guys, or did he just want to say, let Ted continue to pay you, we're not ready for you? What was the story with that? Why weren't you there, part of the invasion angle?
Well, one is that at the time I had a concussion. I think Brian had an appendix surgery, and so I think we were both actually on injury reserve at the time, so to speak. Wrestling injury reserve, if you can imagine that. So we just, at the time, we were still under contract, so our contracts were just, we were just getting paid at the time we were both injured. So it just, it was a weird way it happened, but we were not there, and, you know, when they took over. And I think our price tags were too high, which, you know, he hired a lot of those guys for really nothing. All the guys that he picked up were really guys that were, you know, a few $100 a week, or very minimum deals. There was there may have been some big names he signed, but very few. So he got to pick and choose. And then, of course, we went there a little bit later, but, you know, that's a long story, too. Are you wanting that answer now?
Well, we're going to talk a little bit about it. We're not going to go too much into detail.
Right.
I don't want to have you guys burning any bridges yet, because I want you both to be there.
Yeah.
I want to make sure that the stories kind of stay with each other.
Yeah.
But this is where the controversy comes in. Around September 2001, you guys make your TV debut. You show up on SmackDown, and you guys are there. And within less than a month, you guys are taking on the Brothers of Destruction, Kane and Undertaker. which has been, you know, called the one of the worst matches that they've ever seen. But I believe there's just cause for that, and this is your forum, Brian. This is your chance to answer all those internet rumors about this match.
Well, you know what? There's a lot of things. I'm not going to sit here and make excuses, but I'm just going to tell the facts. Probably a week and a half before we made our debut, I was actually in a car wreck and flipped the car end over end. And I think that I herniated two discs in my neck. I wasn't sure. I went to the MRIs and was still trying to train and get ready for this. And I was like, that's cool. I'll go through with it. And I actually did have two discs that were herniated. Trying to get ready within like a week, and we haven't been in the ring in probably 9-10 months or so. So you can imagine it's like having, and all we did was we did two run-ins, and then we had one house show, and then we're in the pay-per-view, just that quick. So it's basically like asking an NFL quarterback or a pro baseball player, hey, you haven't pitched in 10 months, but we need you to go out and do this pay-per-view. We need you to go out and pitch this game, and we want to be a perfect game. Just didn't happen because the timing was not there. We hadn't worked with those guys, and it just, you know, they were expecting too much too quick. We could have delivered. There's no doubt in my mind. But you've got to have, I mean, they would send, you know, of course everybody else would get a chance to knock the rust off, but not the WCW guys that were coming in. So we did not get that opportunity. And you know, Jim Ross knows it, and Vince knows it. You know, anybody that doesn't know, they know now. But that's just the way, that's just the fact.
Well, you know, there's a lot of guys that were you know, Buff Bagwell had an issue. We had like one match, two matches, and that was it. He was gone. Finished. See you later. It has been rumored that the WCW guys never got their fair shake. But what happened was, I mean, they you know, always talked about this match being so bad, almost unwatchable. And now it's...
Yeah, we didn't have... Trust me, we had very little, if any, input in the layout of the match. That's all I'm going to say about that.
And also not to mention the fact that, from what I understand, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, Undertaker was intricate in bringing you in.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, you know, Taker and Brian are really good friends, and that's and you know, I get along with him fine. But it just, like I said, it was a timing thing. Brian needed more time. I needed more time. All we needed was just, you know, like maybe 2-3 weeks of house shows or even 2 weeks or a week. You know, anytime you've got a guy that's hurt or been away for a little while, you put them on the house shows, you get their timing back, you get them ready, and then you bring them out.
Yeah,
that's why they have the what they call the farm systems now, where they get the OVW, and now they're starting one down in Atlanta.
And the deep
they got time, yeah, you know, they got time to get these guys ready, get their timing ready. Even if you're a veteran and you've been working for years, you still need to go in and knock that rust off and get ready. And we just didn't have that opportunity, and that's what blew up in our face.
You know, well, one of the things is, I mean, they didn't build you guys up either. I mean, you guys did some run-ins. They didn't really give it. I mean, you did have a squash match with Kai and Tai, correct?
Yeah.
And you guys totally annihilated them.
Yep.
But, I mean, that's nowhere near the work rate where you had to be when you're teaming up against Undertaker and Kane.
Absolutely.
I mean, you're talking two lightweights that are all quick, and you're just supposed to be destroying them and throwing your power moves out there. But when you're dealing with houses like Kane and Undertaker, that's not going to relate.
Yeah.
You can't. You're going in taking on, Goliath when you've been practicing with David.
Yep.
Not going to work. But then this is where the controversy doesn't end here. You know how the internet is. Internet is, it's a rumor mill.
Yeah, that's why you got to go to chronicwrestling.com.
See, Chronic Wrestling. They'll tell you the true story. Hey, and also check out Gerwick.net.
There you go.
Because we will take care of you. We tell you the truth.
Yep.
And beautiful plug.
Yeah, you led me right into it. So.
You're learning from the best. I love doing the cheap plug. It's great. By the way, Matt Morgan's still at 206-888-3962. But...
Go Matt.
Go back. Check it out. Now, another thing was that you guys were asked to go down to OVW. Were you asked to go to OVW? Just tell me, OVW, what's the story? What happened?
Yeah, you know, that was a really weird situation. I remember we were getting ready to go in and talk to Jim Ross about the whole situation because of the match and everything, you know, and I was really pissed. I'm not going to tell you I wasn't. I was pissed. And Brian's like, man, just be calm. Because Brian's always been the funny guy, and I've always been the straight guy, and it doesn't take much for me to get pissed. And I was really pissed about the whole match and the whole everything, you know. And they were basically, they decided to buy my contract out, what they had signed me for, and I was like, okay, that's fine, I didn't care. And I think Brian had a little bit of a different deal, so his agreement was that he would go to OVW, but actually he went home for a little while, and then he went. But he says, he basically told me, says, you're not going to believe it. They called me to go to OVW. And I was like, I said, they haven't called me at all, which is, I could care less because I'm still getting paid, you know. They're going to pay my contract no matter what at the time. That was the agreement. But, yeah, I wasn't happy at all, especially with Ross and some of his comments, which I will cover completely. But that was the situation.
Well, so basically you guys did walk out, but it was a combination of both the WWE's fault and Chronic's responsibility to say, look, we told you we needed time off,
yeah,
we told you we needed to prepare, and you didn't listen, and now you're berating us for what happened.
Yeah. I'm not, like I said, I'm not making excuses. I went in there and worked the match, and took all the bumps with my neck screwed up. And a lot of guys have done the same and even more. But the bottom line is, if you're going to put the product out there, you've got to invest a little bit of time in the guys and get them ready so that they can do the best job they can.
Now, you guys are All Japan Triple Crown winners, okay?
Yep.
And one of the internet rumors that was out there was that Chronic no-showed All Japan Pro Wrestling, and you were stripped of the Real World Tag Team titles.
Once again, we went over there, and we have retired, and at least until this moment, we are retired right now and undefeated All Japan Triple Crown winners, whether they like it or not. Bottom line was that they didn't come up with the money they were supposed to for the rematches, and so that's the way we left it. We retired with the belts. We never lost them. I think they had a tournament or something afterwards, but that's just the way they left it. It was a money deal.
It was a money issue.
Yep.
It wasn't,
we were booked, here's your airline tickets, and we didn't show up. We've never done that. So, if we commit to something, we do it.
Now, to kind of go off topic, and I didn't actually talk with you after this beforehand, we've ventured through the career, but this is not the first time. Well, this is the first time we've had you online, but I hope this isn't the last time we have you on the line, because I'd like to kind of keep you up with the product. I know you tune in every now and then, but there's certain aspects of your career that were interesting, events that took place during the course of your career. Maybe you can give us some feedback on that, because I'm sure we won't have time to cover it all on that DVD. Let's stick with the most current event right now, the Ultimate Warrior DVD that's out there, Self-Destruction of the Ultimate Warrior. I'm pretty sure you didn't get a chance to see it yet. But one of the things they were talking about was his run in WCW. You were present for that, weren't you?
I was, yes.
Any thoughts, input on that? So I'm not going to feed you anything. I'll let you have an unbiased account.
You know what? Of course, they're going to knock the guy and bury the guy. I got along with him fine. I had no problems with him. He actually, no problems in the back. Nothing in the ring. I know he had an injury, and he didn't stay probably for his full contract, I don't think. But all the negativity and stuff about him, I didn't see any of it at any time.
Okay, that's good to hear. I don't want a biased opinion or anything to come out of you.
Well, I'm in the back. I'm in the locker room. If it's there, I'll see it. I'll tell you. Who's an ass and who's not.
All right. Well. Let's put it this way. I'll give you a quick question for the callers. Actually, from the callers, who is your favorite person to work with?
Oh wow! You mean as a tag partner or
as an opponent? Who is your favorite person to work against?
Oh man, I really enjoyed working with Bret Hart. I really enjoyed working with Paul Orndorff, even though it was at the very end of his career. There's just a lot of guys. I work with so many people. I love working with Ming. And the guys that were really stiff, and Bob Holly, I love working with Bob. We used to beat the hell out of each other all over Europe. So those are just a few of the names.
Are you a tight worker?
Am I stiff? Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Real stiff, or?
It depends if you stiff me first. But you know what? I would much rather be a little stiff than way too light, because that looks like shit. That's just my opinion of it.
It's
all about believability. But even though it's sports entertainment, I know the whole nine yards. But you got to make it look good.
Now a real interesting question to ask you is Scott Steiner. Did you work with Scott?
Absolutely, love working with Scott.
And that leads me to ask you, because he's been noted as being extremely tight worker, to say the least.
Yep, absolutely love working with him. It was great. Scott's a cool dude, and hey, Scott and Rick both, man, excellent guys in and out of the ring. I actually, when I was in Atlanta, I lived basically two streets between both of them. So both good guys in and out of the ring.
Now, one of the guys right now who's actually considered, the measuring stick of professional wrestling today, Triple H. Ever have a privilege or the ability, the availability, the experience of working with Triple H in the ring?
I missed that.
Did you work with Triple H at all in the ring?
Never did work with him. Worked a lot of the same shows when he was first coming in. But I never did work with him, so he was doing his own little Hunter Hearst Helmsley gimmick at the time, and they were slowly. I mean, you could tell they were trying to take care of him and watch out for what he was doing and stuff.
Now, I got to ask you just flat out. We talked a lot about your career, and we talked about some of your experiences you've had. What can we look forward to on this DVD?
Well, like I said, we're not going to hold anything back. There's a lot of stuff, and I know we've covered a lot here in just a short time, but we're going to just go through. We're going to have some great match information, great stories, great backstage stuff, everything from international to U.S. and with Brian, and Brian's a great storyteller, and I got a feeling we're going to have this really sharp guy that's going to interview us, so I think it's going to be a big hit.
Well, I certainly think so.
Yeah.
I think there's definitely a lot of potential, and through talking with you offline, there's a lot of stories that are too controversial to even put on this line. I'm going to be honest with you.
Yeah, because it's going to piss some people off, but you know what? That's just too damn bad.
And to be honest with you, there's a lot of explicit stories.
Yep.
There's a lot of, it's not that you're intending to bury anybody, but the truth is what it is.
Yeah, if people want to know, I'm going to tell them.
And some of the topics, if you don't mind me covering, would include the story of the Click.
Absolutely.
Okay, we're going to talk about your true feelings on Kevin Nash and him ending your run.
Right.
There's going to be some talks about the backstage politics in both the WWF and WCW.
Yes, a ton of that.
And there's also going to be talking about classic ribs that are too extreme to show up on this line.
Yeah, absolutely. Some that you would not believe.
You know, and this is, and no disrespect to any of the callers.
No, I mean, some of them are really, really funny, but some are going to take offense to some of them, too.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, and we're talking to you offline, and knowing that we keep this line as PG as possible, the stories that you have, I personally felt, and you do, too, that they are just too hardcore, if I should say.
Yeah, so some of them are, yeah.
That's to sum it up. They're too hardcore. But the stories are totally worth listening to. I have been entertained with them, and I've only just begun to touch the surface. And if this is only what one half of Chronic has to say, you can only imagine what two of them are going to do. It's going to be a phenomenal, phenomenal DVD. You can check out chronicwrestling.com to see what's happening, to see where it's at. You guys are targeting. It's going to be out sometime in 06, correct?
Absolutely. We're shooting for the end of the year, but hopefully, I would say by the end of the year, what we're shooting for, if at the latest, the first part of the year.
Well, that's phenomenal. It doesn't take too long to get any of these DVDs out. A lot of people are trying it. Not a lot of people have the proper promoting machine behind them. But you have the full support of Gerwick.net. We appreciate you coming out here, giving us this exclusive. You haven't talked to anyone in well over 4 years, and we are very, very gracious for you to come out here. The callers, thank you. I thank you. And I can't thank you enough. Again, check out Gerwick.net. And, Brian, one more time for you, chronicwrestling.com. Check it out. They can find your information there.
Absolutely, Michael T. And you are the man. Thanks for having me on. Next week or very soon in the near future, you're going to hear from my partner, Brian Adams. And, again, thanks for the opportunity.
Hey, thank you very much. And, callers, don't forget to check out Gerwick.net. Also, drop a line to chronicwrestling.com. If you have any questions, comments you want for Brian Adams, like we addressed some of your calls here tonight, then do it. Leave it in the voicemail, and we'll be back sometime soon. Thanks for calling, and thanks for the support.